Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey, everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace, because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now, and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF, and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. And you put us together, a couple of microphones, some cameras. You get something called Stuff You Should Know.
Cameras?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing here. Everything's very normal.
Just proceed.
Chuck.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Election time is nigh.
I'm getting over my cold.
Yeah, you sound good.
Do I?
Yeah, well, you sound better than you did last week.
Yeah, I'll give you that, but I don't feel like I sound 100%.
Not 100%, but compared to the swimming in snot phase, I will take this.
Man, it got really bad.
It's pretty snotty.
I'm not going to go into it here, but wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, election time is nigh.
I know, I tried to get right to it.
Yeah, and I blocked you.
Yeah.
So, that's why I wanted to do this one. Because people perennially mm-hmm. ask for the Electoral College, and other people say, I don't know what that is, but I want to hear about that too.
And then people in other countries just say, you guys do what?
Yeah. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah. Actually, I meant to look up to see what other countries did with their elections.
It's all like kings and birthright and stuff
like
that.
Is that what
it is?
Yeah. No one else votes?
No.
Okay.
It's just the USA that does that.
Good for us.
Yeah. Chuck.
Yes.
I don't really have much of an intro here.
All right.
It's more of a can you believe this kind of thing.
Okay.
How long have you thought that you went to the polls and cast a vote, and the vote you were casting mm-hmm. was for the candidate that you were casting that vote for, that's who that vote went to?
Every time up until yesterday.
So, like, you didn't have much of an idea about the Electoral College?
No, I did, but, and I knew sort of how it worked, but until you really get down to it, you don't realize that, wow, I'm voting for a person that's going to vote for a person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, because in some cases, like, it's not even on the ballot. Like, the person who you're actually voting for. Okay, so we did what I like to do. We confused everybody, and now we're going to go back and explain what we're talking about, okay?
Yeah, I was confused, actually. I'm going to be ashamed myself.
Okay.
Right out of the gate when it said every 4 years on the Tuesday following the first Monday of November. I was like, why don't they just call it the first Tuesday in November? But then I realized that I guess if November 1st is a Tuesday,
yeah.
then it won't the election won't be till the following Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because they got to get the Monday in there.
It gets even crazier than that with the Electoral College. They go the first Monday following the second Wednesday in December.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think everybody had like gout or something like that back then. It's just passed out.
Consumption.
Right, yeah, that's what it was.
So that is when the actual presidency is decided.
Yeah.
In December.
Yes.
Although everyone knows.
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. So the Electoral College, the whole thing, like why don't we just stick to the popular vote? Which is what everybody thinks they're doing anyway. Where did this come from?
I have an answer.
Okay.
Back in the day when our founding forefathers mm-hmm. and mothers
right.
were doing their thing here, they decided, you know, I think I don't trust a regular popular vote. It's reckless.
Yeah.
As described in this article. And then another camp said, you know what? We sure as heck ain't going to let Congress decide the president.
Right.
So why don't we come up with a really confusing, wacky system called the Electoral College?
Yeah, because it's like
a compromise.
Do you want to have a bunch of uninformed rabble-rousers who just revolted against the King of England a few years before voting? Or do you want a group of elites voting? It's like Citizens United. You don't want either of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they just went and got confusing.
Yeah. I imagine it was more confusing back then than it is today.
You think so?
Or maybe not. Maybe it made more sense back then.
I think it probably did.
Okay.
So what did they come up with? What was the compromise?
Well, the compromise is when it comes election time, there are these people called electors who actually decide the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And they represent, that's equal to two U.S. senators that every state has.
Right.
Plus the number of representatives that each state has.
Yeah, so that comes to 538 total.
Yes.
And three of those are part of the 23rd Amendment from 1961 that gave three electors to D.C.
Yeah. They figure since everything's based here, we might as well toss them a few votes.
Right.
Seemed like the right thing to do.
Right.
And did you say that was the 23rd Amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. So they actually cast the vote. When we vote for the president, we are voting for the electors.
Right.
And like you said, they're not always even on the ballot. Sometimes they are.
Right.
Sometimes they're not.
Right.
And, like, I bet you anything, 90% of the people who vote have no idea who their electors are or, like, how they got to be in that position.
Right. They're like, I'm going to vote for Barack Obama, but who is this Todd Vinemaker in parentheses next to him? I have no idea who that is. Or if in some ballots, you'll go to the end and it's like county commissioner,
yeah,
you know, dog catcher, and then electors. And then there's a list of people's names, mm-hmm, by party. Or like you said, it's just not on there at all.
Yeah. And one thing I was surprised to learn was our own electors here in Georgia. I looked them up just because, mm-hmm, I thought, you know, I might as well know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And their addresses are in there. Like, I can go knock on the dude's door in Decatur,
right,
like 8 blocks from me,
mm-hmm,
and say, you, sir, have a great responsibility at your hands.
Are you going to do that?
No.
Okay.
But I could.
You could. I think maybe you should reconsider.
I'm just surprised. I don't know. I guess, well, we know where the president lives, so that's not a big deal. But
right.
I guess I was surprised that all that stuff is common knowledge. I thought they would be, like, secret.
Yeah, I think they want that to go the opposite way.
Well,
though.
No, it makes sense now that I figured it out. Like, they do want everything out in the open so everyone knows, but it just seemed a little weird that the guy voting for the president is actually like half a mile from my house.
Right.
Or one of the guys.
No, I'm with you.
All right.
So you've got like this group of people who are actually voted in, and they meet after the popular election is certified.
Yeah.
The secretary of each state certifies the vote. The governor whips up a certificate saying, here are all the votes that each candidate got. And then based on this, the electors go and cast their vote the first Monday following the second Wednesday in December.
That's right.
I couldn't find why.
Oh, I don't know. I guess it just falls somewhere in between the election and January 20th.
I guess. And that's when everybody, it's like, wait, 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 Christmas. We've got to, yeah, make sure we're done in plenty of time.
Yeah.
And then they cast the vote, and then it's unsealed, right, and read?
That's right. Even though, barring any surprises, you pretty much know election night from either exit polls or whatever, you know, Dan Rather tells you, or whoever does it these days.
You'd hope, because that guy who lives a few miles away from you,
yeah,
or blocks or miles?
I think I charted him out. I'm stalking him. It was less than a mile.
That's
from my
really
house.
Neat.
Yeah.
So that guy,
You want his name?
Yeah.
John White. That's his name.
So John White,
mm-hmm,
the elector, right?
One of them, yeah.
It's perfectly legal for him to say, you know what? Supposedly, I am supposed to be voting for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
But I really like the cut of this Mitt Romney's jib.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen, though.
It has.
But not quite like that.
But
in the modern times.
I think one of the reasons why they publish their addresses is so, you know.
A good lynching could
take
place.
It's throwing you out there like,
yeah,
hey, man, you can vote however you want,
that's
but
true,
everybody knows where you live. And if you think they get mad about, you know, referees making bad calls, Faithless Elector.
That's what they're called.
Yeah.
Which is a great band name.
You think?
Faithless Elector?
Yeah.
Or the Faithless Electors? No?
I don't think so. It's too, maybe for like a D.C. law school band.
Right.
The Faithless Electors. I could see that.
Playing
St.
Elmo's Grill.
They have no future whatsoever unless they turn it into something like Scorpions or something like that.
That's right. And actually, faithless electors have no future as electors, because one thing you can probably be sure of, if you change your vote, then you're not going to be asked back to be an elector in the future.
No.
And you could possibly be fined, depending on what state you're in.
Yeah. And you're probably going to be kicked out of your party. You're putting a lot on the line.
Yeah. And see, this is the thing that made it all clear to me. Each party has its own elector. So that's why no one's going to turn. Like, the people that are put in the place as electors are like staunch party line people.
Right.
You know, they're not going to turn and vote. Like, the reason they're there is because they know that they're going to vote for either the Republican or the Democrat.
They know where their bread is buttered.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing? It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Okay, so let's talk about these people. How are these people elected? What do they have to qualify for? Obviously, everyone has to have at least a Juris Doctorate, if not a PhD in law of some sort, like a Juris Doctorate, some sort of political science degree, and probably they have to have like several hundred hours of community service under their belt.
No.
Yes.
That is not true.
Are you sure?
Very nice setup, though.
Thank you.
You're being coy. There actually are no real strict outlines per the Constitution as to who these people are.
Yeah.
They are usually nominated by a state party committee. It says in here, usually as a, or sometimes to reward many years of service to the party.
Yeah.
So they could be like big on the campaign trail for you, or activists maybe for your party.
Or like a robo dialer.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Like the all-time robo-dialer. but they cannot be senators or representatives.
Yeah.
And I would imagine former, too, although I didn't see that.
I don't know. I think active is what it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't be a high-ranking official in a position of trust or profit. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And this one, I love that they actually had to specify this. He or she cannot be someone who is engaged an insurrection or rebellion.
Well, this obviously was put in by the people who were like, we can't just leave it to a popular vote. These people are crazy.
Yeah. Like, I saw a musket in that guy's hands last week, aimed at my office, and now he's an elector.
Right. He can't vote.
I like that it's still in there, though.
Yeah. That insurrection rebellion thing definitely helped form this country. Okay. So you've got people who are active in their party. Who've been rewarded. Maybe they're activists.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, sometimes they know the president or president-elect.
Right. Like, they met him on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
And that's really about it. Each state has, I think, probably a different nominating process. But overall, when you have a candidate who's running for Green Party, Democrat, Republican,
right,
you take your, as your party, as your Green Party, you all go down together and you pile into like the camper and go down and register.
The one that runs on veggie oil.
Exactly.
And you're all very depressed because you don't have a shot at winning.
You know, Roseanne's running for president for the Green Party.
Roseanne Barr?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And she's being roasted right now. Don't think that that's not a media play.
Right.
So they all go down to the Secretary of State's office and say, hey, these are our candidates. They're our electors candidates for electors.
Yeah.
So when you vote for Roseanne, it should have all those people's names next to hers, or on like by party, it might say like Green Party electors, here's all the people, or it might not say anything.
Right.
But when you cast that vote for Roseanne, you are voting those electors.
Yeah.
That's who you're voting for. That's who the vote goes to, not Roseanne. Right?
It goes to John Goodman. That's who I would have as my elector if I was Roseanne.
What about Tom Arnold?
No. You don't want Tom Arnold. They had a messy divorce.
He'd be the party prez, though. Well, John Goodman was never married to her. It's just TV.
TV marriage, though. That's like sacrosanct. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
All right. All right. So where are we?
We're talking about how the vote goes toward not Roseanne, where you wanted it to go.
Right.
Not Tom Arnold or John Goodman, but to Todd Vinemaker.
Right.
And all the other electors, right? So what's going on here? What's this process?
Well, I mean, they literally just make their vote supposedly in accordance with the people's popular vote.
Right.
And I think, what do they give it to, the Secretary of State?
Right. That's who's, like, it's registered before Election Day.
Right. So like your name's on the list.
Yes. Yeah. So at the very least, if it's not printed on the ballot, the Secretary of State knows who the electors are.
Right.
And there's two ways to do it. 48 states have a winner-take-all system.
I get that one.
And then Maine and Nebraska have a district system.
I'm just confused by that one.
Okay, so the district system actually more closely follows the Electoral College system than the winner-take-all.
Now, is this to vote for the elector only?
No.
That's what confused me, I think.
So let's say you have let's do the winner-take-all system.
Okay, which is so easy.
But think about it. So let's say you are in Arizona.
All right. Boy, it's hot.
Right. And you've decided to stay. You're not moving.
Yeah. That wouldn't happen.
You've got like, you have 10, there's 10, well, in 2008, and I believe it's the same in 2012, there's 10 electoral votes.
Yes.
Right? So the Green Party candidate, Roseanne, should have 10 electors associated with her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Barack Obama should have 10 electors.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney should have 10 electors. So when that person wins the popular vote and that's certified, then those electors are the ones, those 10 associated with that candidate are the one that should go down to the state capitol on the first Monday after the second Wednesday of December and cast their vote.
Okay, I get that. And also we should point out that in this system, that is the reason why sometimes the name isn't even on the ballot because there's something somewhere in their state constitution that says a vote for Barack Obama is a vote for these 10 people. You don't need to know who they are. Just trust us.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So that's the winner-take-all system, right? The other system in Maine and Nebraska is the district system.
Right.
So the winner-take-all system, that's a lot like a popular vote.
Yeah.
In the district system, you get two votes. The guy who won, the guy or the lady, or the gender neutral president, depending on when you listen to this episode. Whoever got the most popular votes in the state gets two electoral votes, the two associated with the Senate.
Right.
Then the other electoral votes that are divvied up by congressional district, whoever won that congressional district gets that vote.
Yeah, I get that. And I looked it up a little further and saw that there are scenarios in Maine in Nebraska where you could have three different votes cast for three different candidates, but they said it's never happened.
Yeah. It's just theoretically possible, mathematically, statistically possible?
Yeah, all three.
Okay.
I don't know. It just seems like everyone should just be all on the same system.
But it makes sense,
though.
Call
me a socialist.
But think about it. Like, the whole reason you have the Electoral College, or one of the big reasons, is to prevent one region or one part of the state from wielding enough power to vote for everybody else. And I think that's what the district system is set up to prevent too. It's kind of like, hey man, you voted for this this person, and we want you to have your say in the Electoral College. I think it's smarter.
Oh yeah?
I think so.
Well then I do too. You swayed me.
Good. Now we just have to sway John White.
I've got his number.
You know, he could use this as evidence one day.
For what?
I don't know what's going to happen. What are you going to do?
I'm not going to do anything.
Okay.
But if something happened, then everyone would point their fingers at me.
Yeah.
It's like we heard him say it so on his podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
I won't testify against you, though.
I appreciate that. Should we talk about some of the hinky results over the years?
Yeah.
When things don't go quite as planned?
Or go exactly as planned.
Very true.
Thanks.
That's a teaser. There have been four presidents. POTUS? Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Four POTUSes.
PODI.
PODI. That have won their post without the popular vote.
Yeah.
I mean, that's happened four times in this country. And all the ones up until 2000, we probably weren't as concerned with because you're like, who cares?
They're all old-timey.
They're all old-timey.
They were wearing knickers.
They were just working it out back in 1824.
Yeah.
When John Adams' son, John Quincy.
The Q.
He received 38,000 fewer votes than Andrew Jackson. This one was definitely hinky because neither one of them won Electoral College. So if that happens, you defer to, what, the 12th Amendment? And that's when the House of Representatives decides who the president is.
Yeah.
Which would be really weird these days.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think there'd be a lot of, that'd just be bad news.
Yeah, that would be bad news.
But at the same time, this is 1824 and there were still a lot of insurrecting, rebellious people.
Yeah,
so
true.
I'm sure it was a little nervous back then.
Yeah.
So who won? JQ?
JQ.
Yeah. 1876, Rutherford B. Hayes. This is the first time, and I think the only time, that small states actually swung the election.
Yeah.
Hayes carried a bunch of small states and basically combined their combined electoral votes, gave him the electoral vote.
Yeah.
Although he lost the popular vote by a lot, by like 109,000? No, 264,000 votes he lost the popular vote.
Yeah, we almost had President Samuel Tilden.
Yeah. Sammy Tilden, the haymaker, I think was his nickname.
Really? I feel bad for the haymaker all of a sudden.
Yeah? Yeah, well, I mean, everybody liked him a lot more, but yeah. Hayes cobbled together a win from small states, and Colorado had just been let in.
This is the hinky part.
And they didn't have any popular vote. There was no vote whatsoever. They just did some electoral voting,
yeah.
And it went all to Hayes. So he put it together with Colorado. So with very little popular vote, and then in one state, no popular vote.
Isn't that crazy?
And he won. And he went on to be the greatest president this country's ever seen.
I mean, Colorado, I guess they were just like, we don't even have pens and pencils. Can you give us, like, can we get a buffer?
We're all boxes over here.
Yeah.
We haven't even started unpacking
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. So they said, oh, well, let's just give it to Hayes.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah. Who you got next?
1888. Benji Harrison lost the popular vote by more than 95,000 votes to Grover Cleveland, won the electoral vote by 65. And this is one of the cases where they say it worked exactly like the plan, like we planned it to with Electoral College, because you can't just overwhelm someone in one region and get the presidency. That's what happened.
And so in six states in the South, so the whole campaign pretty much was based on, we want the tariff, we don't want the tariff. Well, the North and everybody else wanted the tariff.
Right.
South didn't want the tariff. Grover Cleveland was like, no tariff whatsoever.
Right.
And the South voted as a block. They had a bunch of people. He won the popular vote by like 65%.
Huge number, yeah.
But in the other 32 states, he lost by 425,000 votes.
No, he lost by 300,000. He had won by 425.
Okay, yeah. So 32 states were against him combined. Yeah. Six states were for him, and the Electoral College steps in and prevents the South from picking the president for the rest of the country.
That's right.
Flawless.
And then, not flawless, let's go to the year 2000.
Yeah. So Bush v. Gore.
Yeah, I was driving across country, moving to Los Angeles during this election, and I made a self-made video of my journey, most of which was me singing along to songs on the radio in my U-Haul.
Yeah.
And I've still got this. I should, like, get it digitized and post it at some point. It's pretty funny. But I remember very specifically one part in the thing. I woke up in New Mexico, and you can tell I'm all sleepy. And
you don't remember going to sleep there,
though. I remember going to sleep.
Oh, okay.
But I woke up, and I said, yeah, you know, here I am in New Mexico. It's weird. I woke up this morning, and they don't know who the president is.
Yeah.
And it's like captured in time, this moment.
Nice.
Where I realized with sleep in my eyes, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
I went to bed expecting, because, you know, that night.
Everybody was going toward Gore.
Well, I think it was called a couple of different ways, a couple of different times.
It went back and forth, but when everybody went to bed, it was like Gore all the way. Like,
right.
He'd won the popular vote. They knew it was close, but everybody had called Gore. And then they woke up and they're like, wait a second.
And then a huge, huge mess cluster ensued.
Yeah.
Afterward, which involved the court system. It involved hanging chads.
Well, not only that, you remember, like, there was this one county where, like, their votes just got lost for a little while.
Yeah.
On the way to be counted, they were just vanished and then reappeared later on. Like, that kind of stuff, you should just basically be like, no, the whole state, everybody has to wait. The whole state has to start over and vote again.
Yeah, that might have been a good move.
There were, like, accusations of disenfranchisement among black voters in black areas.
Yeah, there were also, I mean, both sides had a lot of arguments.
Yeah.
Like, when you really start peeling back the layers and researching this,
they're like, make you cry.
It will make you cry. And there are just, like, dozens and dozens of factors that many people never even saw on the nightly news.
Yeah.
You know, like military votes or disenfranchised voters in poor counties.
Yeah.
And then I think Gore asked for a recount in only four counties when people are saying, no, he should have asked for a hand recount in all the counties.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, POTUS was decided for the country by less than 400 votes.
Is that what it came down to?
Well, I mean, it depends, because all the different factors, like, do we count these votes? What about these? These people meant to vote for Gore or Bush,
right.
And it was cloudy, and what about these hanging chads? So there's all different kinds of numbers, but I've seen one that said it was less than 100 votes was the deciding factor.
So, okay, so it came down to 100 votes, but Florida's winner take all.
Yeah.
So that means that those 100 votes, since Bush got those 100 votes, he got all 25 votes in the Electoral College for Florida,
yeah,
which just so happened to put him at exactly the amount of electoral votes he needed to win the presidency, which was 271.
It's crazy. I mean, I've looked, as many people have since then, at, like, the independent studies they did afterward,
mm-hmm.
and it just depends on which ones you want to read. Like, I saw today, like, 10 independent studies, and six of them showed that Gore was the definite winner.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them showed that Bush was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just confusing and disheartening.
Yeah.
But what it did was shed light on a pretty flawed system in how we cast our votes, how they're counted.
And it gave us the hanging chad.
It gave us the hanging chad joke.
So there was also a bit of awkwardness that came out of that.
Just a bit?
Well, in one instance, there
right.
was a kind of an overlooked bit of awkwardness. When the electoral votes are unsealed, they're unsealed by the president of the Senate. The president of the Senate is the vice president. So in 2000, the 2000 election, mm-hmm. remember Al Gore was vice president. He was president of the Senate. So he had to read his own defeated electoral college votes.
Did you just...
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah. And there was, like, something of an insurrection and a rebellion among black congressional members.
Oh, yeah.
Who were protesting the vote and
uh-huh.
protesting, including Florida's vote in the count. And he had to basically be like, it's over, it's done.
Right. For the good of the country, let's move on.
But he there was, like, no emotion. Even the emotion you just had, it wasn't that.
There was less,
like,
than that.
For the good of the country, let's move on.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
You know, Gore always got tagged as the robot, the Robotron, but there was a video, I might have talked about it before, that Spike Jonze made of Gore that never was released, a campaign video, that I think would have won him the election.
Oh, yeah. Did he have, like, his tie loosened?
No, man, he was, like, way funnier and cooler than you would think.
He was on 30 Rock. He did a good job on that.
Yeah, but that was later. But this was before when he had, the bad rap as, like, a robot.
Yeah.
But this, like, he let him inside his home, and it was just very casual, very laid back.
Yeah.
And you're like, you saw him as a dude for the first time, like, cracking jokes and hanging out with his family, and it was, like, very endearing.
Yeah.
And he was like, do not release this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And he lost the election.
Did you ever see that Simpsons where Lisa buys Al Gore's, one of his books?
Nah.
And, like, the information is transmitted, and somebody runs into the I don't know what the vice president's office is called. The trapezoid office?
Yeah.
And it's like, Mr. Vice President, someone just bought your book. And he goes, well, this calls for a celebration. And he turns turns on the record player and puts on Cool and the Gang, Celebrate.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, celebrate good times, come on. And he goes, I will. It's perfect. They nailed him.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. So that's Gore.
Yeah, that's Gore. So I guess on both sides of the coin here, we have people thinking this is a great thing still, and people saying this is not a great thing.
Yeah, for each instance, even the one where we're saying, like, the Electoral College worked perfectly, there are people who are like, no, it's all messed up. Like, he clearly won the popular vote, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
Like, and other people say, like, calm down.
Right.
Let's all just calm down.
Well, one of the knocks against it is some say it discourages voter turnout, because unless you're in a swing state or a battleground state, it's quote-unquote pre-decided.
Yeah, but then again, so does, like, the two-party system. We're in, like, a very, very red state, so
don't get me
say
started on that.
If we, you know, were to not vote red, we could make a case that our votes would be thrown away.
No.
And that could dissuade voters from turning out, too.
And the people for it say, no, this is exactly what we need because it's a weighed system. The states that have the most – the states – that should have the most influence are the states that are the most populated.
Yeah. Like, well, that's how it's divided up.
Like, Alaska's great. We love all that land, but land shouldn't be deciding who the president is. You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm with you. It's people. It's people that counts, not mountains. People, not mountains. People, not mountains.
What do we want? Time travel. When do we want it?
It's irrelevant.
All right.
I like that sign.
So,
where was that sign?
I don't know. It was just some random guy who posted it on the Facebook page. Everyone thought it was me, though, I guess, because he had facial hair.
Yeah.
It's like, there's more than me. I see mustaches out there.
Yeah, man, they're all over the place.
So over the past 200 years, over 700 proposals have been introduced to reform or eliminate this process.
Is that right?
Yep, the most proposals for any constitutional amendment.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. And I think it's probably because executive orders aren't in the Constitution and therefore can't be repealed.
Maybe. Yeah. I know that attorneys, by and large, are against it. The American Bar Association polled at 70% in favor of abolishing it, whereas political scientists have generally supported it. And then I could find three popular polls, opinion polls, over the years. In 1967, 58% of Americans said they don't like it. In 1968, 81%, late 60s, they were just like, what is it? Government? I don't want it.
Oh, yeah.
And then in 1981, that declined to 75%. But by and large, the people are saying, or at least up until 1981, like, we don't like this process.
Yeah. Don't make us insurrect.
Yeah. whoever has the most votes should win, is what many Americans believe.
Yeah. Did we talk about
the
two elections that were decided by the House of Representatives because there were ties in the electoral
college? Well, we talked about the one. I don't think we mentioned the other.
Oh, yeah. Burr.
JQ.
Yeah, but Burr and Jefferson.
Yeah.
1801, right?
Yeah.
There was a tie in the electoral college, and it took 31 votes in the House of Representatives to decide who was the president. And it turned out to be Thomas Jefferson. And then Aaron Burr was shot.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the sad end of that story.
No. Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton.
That's right. And that's the sad end of that story.
Right. And that's the sad end to Electoral College.
Yeah, get out and vote, people. That's all we have to say. Even if you live in California and you're a Democrat and you think, hey, we're going to lock up those 55 votes, even if I sleep in and go see my medical marijuana doctor, get out and vote anyway. Or if you're in a state like Georgia and you're a Republican and you think, hey, we're going to carry this, you get out and vote too.
It's pretty much the fable of the rabbit and the hare that you're talking about.
Who's the hare?
I guess the hare is the person who visits their medical marijuana doctor and oversleeps rather than voting that day. And how do you oversleep? You mean like sleep until Wednesday? Like not get up on Tuesday?
That's happened.
Yeah. Have you heard about Ohio?
Well, that's a swing state.
Yeah, but have you heard what's going on there?
No.
Dude, the Secretary of State, a Republican,
uh-huh,
has decreed that counties that are typically blue, generally blue counties, are not going to have weekend voting, and their early voting hours are going to be short compared to red counties that are going to have weekend voting and longer early voting hours. And like, there's no explanation for this whatsoever.
See, that's my problem is, like, I know you probably can't do a nationwide, everything's the same, but within the state, every district should have the exact same procedure, the same machines, the same, like, all of that should be the same. I can't believe there's districts that have, like, here you do a punch card, and here you scribble it in with the number two pencil, and here you just say it quietly into a booth. And there's someone on the other side.
Right, or you blow out a candle, one of two candles. Yeah. That's another Simpsons.
It's pretty messed up, though.
I think at the very least we should be allowed to tar and feather elected officials who decide stuff like that. Anybody who's responsible for voter disenfranchisement, tarred and feathered. I guess that's it.
And that makes you an insurrectionist.
Yeah.
All right.
I always knew I was. Okay. Well, if you want to know more about this weird process we have in the United States called the Electoral College.
Yeah.
You can type those words into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. It'll bring up a handy and out-of-date graph of how the votes were distributed in 2008.
Is it out of date?
2008 was 4 years ago.
Yeah, but isn't it still the same?
Then it's a snapshot of a moment in time. That's what it is. Anyway, it's still a good article. Electoral College, handy search bar, howstuffworks.com, and now it's time for listener mail.
Josh, before we go any further.
I didn't realize we were going anywhere.
We are coming to New York City.
Yeah, we are. One of our towns.
And we are doing another trivia event there, which we're both really psyched about.
Yeah.
But we need some help with a venue.
We need to have the trivia event somewhere.
That's right. And we are coming Friday, October 12th.
Yep.
And actually, that is when the event is, evening, that night.
Yeah.
And we could use some help from anyone out there who has connections, good ideas.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Room for a few hundred people. I don't want to toot our own horn, but I would say that that's probably a pretty good projection of everybody who's coming. Oh, by the way, even if you don't have a venue... Guys, we're going to be in New York for your trivia event, so make sure you come out.
Details to follow, but mark your calendar, October 12th. And, yeah, you're right. Like, your tiny little bar that you love that does trivia in Park Slope, probably can't go there. Just to give you an idea.
Although, it's probably a great bar.
Exactly. To give you an idea, we had our last trivia event at the Bell House in Brooklyn, and it was pretty big, and we packed it out. And I imagine we could pack it out at least that, or maybe a little more this time around,
because
it's a few years down the line.
Maybe we can work out a deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
So hit us up at Facebook or Twitter.
Email to us.
Yeah, or you could email stuffpodcast@discovery.com and just put, like, New York venues in the subject line, and that's a great help for us.
Yeah, and October 12th.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
Josh is already excited.
I am excited.
All right, back to it?
Yes.
I'm going to call this an Englishman. The Englishman who went up a hill and...
Came down a mole.
Dear Chuck, Josh, and Jerry, and in parentheses, he actually says, a small hi to guest producer Matt.
Oh, nice.
A small hi.
Yeah.
Not a full hello. My name is Jack Mead, and I'm an avid fan from England. I just started listening in October 2011. And tonight, I've just finished the 452nd podcast.
I wish we had the
sound maker.
Yeah. The haymaker.
From Grassoline with Josh and Chris Paulette, parentheses, terrible pre-chuck days, to the most recent Shark Attack episodes. It's been a wild and exciting ride. You guys have come a long way. I just listened to the first one to see the difference. And not only is it missing the sweet dulcet tones of Charles W. Bryant, but Josh's voice sounds very weird.
Yeah, and it sounded like we were recording in a can.
Yeah.
And I was really aggressive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, hey, what do you think, huh? I can't even listen to it.
Yeah, you poked me once.
Yeah, sure.
Once.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just want you guys to know your podcast has become a huge part of my life. Catching up with them has left me both a sense of achievement, but also great sadness. See, I listen to the podcast pretty much any time when I'm not engaging with other human beings. I've listened to over 9 days' worth of your voices in the space of 10 months. I probably heard you two speaking more than my own fiancé's voice. I was thinking, man, what a lonely guy, but he's engaged.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you should prioritize here.
Let's pause.
Going from that amount of awesomeness to just 2 episodes a week is making me feel confused and frightened. It's okay, Jack.
You know, it's strange. It's like, this is a pretty frequent report we hear.
Yeah.
It's like a condition.
Well,
where
I
you
just
like, bulk up. You bulk listen, and then all of a sudden, you have to wait like everybody else, like a schmo.
I just did the Firefly marathon.
Yeah, it's good.
Think how I feel. You watch 14 episodes of that, then the movie, and then you're cut off after 4 days.
Yeah, that's it.
There's not another one coming every week.
Yeah.
So I'm just like looking at the walls now, wondering where Captain Tight Pants is.
Is that what's been wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm like sad.
I've been trying to figure it out.
Everyone else I've talked to has been like, oh yeah, I mourned Firefly years ago, like everyone else, but we know your pain. Mm. Anyway, I'll be in my bunk.
You don't have a punk.
I would like to think that I'm your biggest fan in England, but I guess that is statistically improbable. I very much enjoyed Chuck's terrible attempts at an English accent and your attempts at pronouncing our place names. I've been wanting to email you guys since I got into the podcast, but wanted to catch up first. I think what you do is truly amazing and genuinely enjoy life more with the podcast as a soundtrack.
Yeah. Isn't
that crazy? I know you guys must get hundreds of emails a day. That's not true. So I don't expect a reply, but I'm just glad to know that you will read this. I look forward to the day that I can contribute information and maybe even get on listener mail.
Yeah.
So if I may make a quick suggestion, I would love a special podcast hosted by Emily and Yumi. I have no idea how to spell your wife's names, but he actually nailed it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
really?
Yeah. Look at that.
Wow.
And then he wants to hear a podcast, How Chuck and Josh Work, from our wives. Said it's a long shot, but you never know.
And it's a pretty long shot.
I would call that the longest of shots.
Yeah.
But a fun idea, nevertheless.
It is a good idea.
Emily would be like, get your beep button ready.
Right. Let me tell you a thing or two.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, who is that from again?
Jack Mead.
Thanks, Jack Mead. Wow, that's a pretty awesome British name, isn't it?
Agreed.
Jack Mead. It makes me want to put on boxing gloves.
Drink mead.
Yeah. So, if you are a fan who is going through, what should we call this condition?
I don't know.
I had
withdrawal.
Stuff you should know withdrawal. Yeah, I guess that. I mean,
call
that
it
makes
what it
sense.
Is.
Yeah. If you're going through stuff you should know, addiction withdrawal,
yeah.
And you need help, we will look into forming some sort of support group for you. Let's do that.
Agreed.
Any ideas on how to create such a support group, especially one that would have to be international and global and instantaneous, we're open to that. So we need to hear from you via Twitter at SYSK Podcast, facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow, or you can send us an email with these details to stuffpodcast@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.